Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound, and offering both hope and help for men. You know, in the studio today with me, I tell you, I always look forward to when this guy shows up. I don't know
really?
Why. Yes, I do. I don't know why, but I do. Because I like your demeanor. You always have a good attitude, and you're ready to head off into the real work after you're done with this work.
Oh, well, that's a matter of perspective then, isn't it?
Okay, yes. You're leaving for the work after the real work is done here.
There's one side of my life where I make money. There's another side where...
Treasures in heaven.
I'm getting treasures in heaven. So
what would you rather have?
Well, this is temporary.
Yes.
Heaven is eternal.
Yes.
So we need to be heavenly minded.
Yes.
But at the same time, I still have to feed my family.
You're taking care of both of them.
Yep.
So anyway, so you have any time for yourself?
That's a good one.
That's what happens when you got three kids that are just one going into high school.
And... I've got two in high school.
Or two in high school.
Yeah, gosh, one's just about to graduate, Raul.
Oh, my gosh, that's right. Oh, my goodness.
I know. I am okay. Way too young for this.
Well, I'm already a grandpa, so it doesn't matter. They all, let those kids that keep growing up.
You know? I know. Anyway. Boy, anyway. Isn't that something?
Well,
I'm looking forward to that, but not yet.
Not yet, yes.
Not yet, summer.
Yes.
Summer's the name of my daughter.
Yes.
For all those out in Radio Land who don't know.
Anyway, so Eric is in the studio with me, the MIB.
Yep.
The man in black.
Brown.
I just wanted to see. You're paying attention. Anyway, good to have you, bro.
Thanks. Good
All right, so how about some encouragement for the men? So what you got anything? What do you think?
Have you ever had, that's a question.
Yes.
I guess it's more. Have you ever had a hard time picking out a present for your wife?
Have I ever had a hard time? No, I just haven't been able to afford to pick out the ones.
I see. Well, you see, that's part of the issue.
Oh, okay.
You see, because, you know, picking out a present for our wives, we're often, you know, I'm just like, I don't know, wrenches, you know.
With little diamonds on them.
You know, because, you know, men and women, we really don't think alike, and it's hard. So I was thinking, how can we pick out, how can we get those good presents? You know, whether it's, you know, birthday, anniversary, Christmas, whatever's coming up, right?
Yes.
So what is it? How can we pick it out? Well, you know, one thing that we really need to do.
Wait a minute. You asked the question. You're going to let me answer.
No,
oh,
because you're going to get the wrong
okay.
answer. It's a rhetorical question. <I'm>... This is the part where you just sit and listen for
okay.
a little bit.
I just listen. All right. Enlighten me, oh, great one.
Oh, goodness. What are we talking about again?
Hey, you're going to tell me about how to be able to pick out the best gift for your wife.
Well, okay. Here's the deal. They've been telling us for a long time.
Who are they?
Our wives.
Okay, got it.
The thing is, we just need to be listening.
Amen.
We need to be listening because, you know, they'll be talking about things. They'll be saying, oh, gosh, it sure would be nice to have this or to do this.
And that may come in August sometime
and that,
or 7
exactly
months
right.
away.
Yes. You know, sometimes you just, and with the forgetters that we have, you know, sometimes it
They're
might
built
be good
in.
To,
they come with
to you know, keep little notes, maybe make it a bookmark in your Bible or
write it down
you know,
at that
write
time.
Write it down. You know, because there's the thing, they're dropping hints. And I think that they're actually consciously dropping hints. I think that, I'm not sure. Maybe. Yeah. But because I don't,
well,
I don't
totally
understand.
They don't do it intentionally. They drop hints, but they're not intentional. They just,
not all the time.
That's just the way it
not
comes,
all the time. Know. But then there's also the other aspect that you brought up that you don't, like, I would love
I didn't
to give
a chance to talk. How could I
you
bring
did,
anything up?
You did bring it up. Because you said that I don't have a problem picking out the gifts. I have a problem paying for the gift. Because we often think that we have to get something
afford
the gift.
I could pay for it.
Because, you know, we often think that we have to give really big gifts. Because, you know, some of us, that's kind of just the way that we say, I love you.
You mean expensive rather than big?
Expensive.
Yeah. You don't want to use big when you're talking about gifts for your wife.
Okay. Man, this is a rough show. All right. So, the issue, Raul. Expensive gifts, because a lot of us, we say I love you by giving gifts, right?
Yes.
So we want to give those really big gifts. Well, a lot of times the people that we're giving the gift to doesn't necessarily receive love through big gifts. They receive love in different ways. And that's basically what a gift is. It's a way of saying I love you ultimately, right?
Yes. Yes.
So here's a couple ideas that I thought of for men whose wives might not be those who receive, you know, gifts as love. Some people receive words of affirmation as love.
Yes.
So try this. Write a poem. Write a poem for your wife. Have you ever done that?
Is this a rhetorical question?
No, this one's not rhetorical. You could.
Well, yes, I have.
Yeah, I've done that too. And you know what?
Haven't I? Look, she's going, no, you haven't.
You know, I've done that a couple
times. Roses are red,
violets
are blue.
You know? It's actually quite amazing.
Yes.
To pour yourself out like that. So there's
one
idea.
What about us guys who are not very good at writing?
Okay. Some of us guys are good at doing things. Am I right?
Yeah, but you just fed her, you gave my wife an opportunity to wonder, I wonder when he's going to give me a poem. Okay, go ahead. Next.
Okay. I'm just trying to... maybe I'm digging at some deep holes for some guys.
You're actually doing good.
Okay. Another thing that we can do, Raul, is, you know, that some guys are good at doing things. So what you could do like the coupon, which is good for taking care of this thing, you know, this thing that has been on the back burner for 5 years and I've been saying I'm going to get to it. And so here's a coupon. You get to cash this in.
Yes.
And I'm going to take care of that. Here's a thought. How many of us have actually given our wives a vacation? And I'm not talking about necessarily shipping her off somewhere, but just saying, hey, you know what, honey? I'm going to take care of everything. You get to stop. You don't have to worry about this. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to cook. You don't have to clean. You don't have to do anything. I have it all under control for whatever amount of time you set out. And you know what? You give your wife a vacation from either, you know, being a mom or from being, whatever she does, you know, for work,
mm-hmm.
whatever it is, you know, just give her that time off that she might not have. I mean, a lot of stay-at-home moms, when's the last time that a stay-at-home mom has had a vacation from her job?
Yes.
You don't get a vacation from that.
Yep.
So just a couple ideas, you know, for guys that think some things that actually don't cost any money and some other ideas for things that
effort,
that do.
A little sweat, a little, you know, just taking care of business is all that's necessary here. But really, it's all from love, right?
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Well,
so there you are. I'm sorry I made you shut up.
Oh, no. I was learning. I was taking it all in because I can always learn.
All right.
So there you go.
There you have it. Man, it's all about, you know, because gifts, they are acts of love.
Yes.
And we are expressing love. And it's as difficult as it is to express love in a way that is contrary to our own nature, it's often received quite well.
I'll only add one thing to this.
Okay, good.
This is sort of like the bow on the present that you just gave your wife. Do not put an expectation on anything that you will receive as a result of giving something.
That's a good point.
Yeah, expectations are not a good idea.
Yeah.
Oh, sweetheart. Anyway.
And then when the expectation isn't met, then you get resentment.
Yes.
And
then she goes,
bitterness.
What's the matter? I thought you wanted... Yeah, well, I thought maybe I'd get my feet rubbed. Whatever it might be. There you go. No expectation, but I love that. Which is a good segue. This whole thing that you just talked about is a good segue into what we're going to be talking about today. How to be a hero in your family. Well, actually, how to be a hero to your wife.
Yeah. Well, that's a hero, man. Hero. Man, Jesus
Christ. We're not talking about sandwiches, guys.
Jesus is like the greatest hero of all time.
Yes.
So really to be a hero to our family is what? It's to be a reflection of Jesus inside of our family.
That's what we're called to do.
Exactly. And, I would love to have those words, you know, come from the people in my family, you know, to say, from my children, Dad, you're my hero. Mm-hmm. I want to be just like you. I mean, don't we all want to hear that? Honey, you are my hero. Thank you for being such a great husband. You know, so, but the thing is, like we were talking about expectations, we can't go into this with the expectation of what we're doing, you know, that we're going to all of a sudden hear those words.
Yes.
The thing is that it's a call to be selfless above all else. And if we go into it thinking that I'm going to get something in return, you know, to hear those words or to receive whatever, you know, like we were talking about earlier during the encouragement, there's going to be some resentment. So the thing is that the selflessness within the family is really key because if I'm trying to get something, if I'm focused on myself, well, guess who I'm not focused on?
That's right.
I'm not focused on serving the other people in my family.
Right, right. So really what it comes down to, an awful lot of this, is first and foremost, making your relationship right with Christ first. That has to be, because mm-hmm. if that's not good, if you're not focused on Him, you're not going to know what else to do.
Exactly.
You're really not. You're going to go back to the way what you think would be a good thing. And our thinking sometimes has gotten us in trouble in the past. And I know I'm not just speaking for myself in that one. I believe there's a lot of guys who are actually not only listening, but can relate with that. You know, my best thinking has got me sometimes where I'm at today, you know. And if you're not in a very good space, well, hey, there's only one place I need to be pointing a finger at, and it's in the mirror.
Right.
Really.
Yeah. Well, in the book of Ephesians, Paul writes to us in chapter 5, starting at verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body."
Yes. Yeah.
That's how we love.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the thing is, we can look at that and say, what does that mean? What? How? Love my wife as Christ loved the church. Well, what we have to do, or else we have to look at who Jesus is.
Yep.
And what he has done.
Yep.
You know, first off,
he came to serve.
He came to serve.
Not to come and be a dictator, not to come and rule everything. He came to serve.
Yeah. And the thing, I'm going to go back just a little bit.
Okay.
Because he came.
Mm.
Now, in Jesus coming to the earth, he humbled himself. Here is Jesus, the second person of the Trinity,
mm-hmm.
in the glorious heavens, and then he says, you know what? The Father says, it's time. It's time for you to go down to the earth, and you're going to be born a little baby boy, you know. And so the Holy Spirit comes on Mary, and all of a sudden you have God, Almighty God, is contained within one single cell that, yep, that grows, you know, into a baby, born Jesus. So the God of the universe humbles himself in the form of a man.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way, we need to humble ourselves before our wives.
Yep.
And that is, you know, that's like we were talking about being selfless. It's mm-hmm. about considering those, her and our children, you know, as greater than ourselves, to, you know, to put ourselves in a sense under them.
And so often today, it's so difficult for us to grasp that as men, because we're so busy with the responsibilities that this world seems to put us in sometimes. We'll say, oh, man, I've got to do this. I got to take care of that. I have to work. I got so much to do. I don't have time to be humble like Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I do.
Yeah.
And because we get caught up in so many of these things, you know, the hustle and bustle of life, you know, that causes the focus to come back in on ourselves, because, yep, you know, who's dealing with, you know, having to get to work by a certain time? I am.
Yeah.
You know, who's dealing with all of the stresses of the job? I am. Who has to get this done? Who has to get that done? It's I.
Right.
It draws everything back in. You know, and the one thing that is always common throughout every single day of our lives is us.
Yes.
I am always with me, and I am always concerned about me. Just like it says in this passage in Ephesians, no mm-hmm. one hates his own body but nourishes mm-hmm. it.
That's right. That's, when I'm hungry, I'm going to eat. When I have to go to the bathroom, I'm going to go. When yep. I need to be cleaned, I'm going to clean. Right?
So. Exactly. And that's the way our minds have been trained, because, you know, I am always with me, and I am always concerned about me, and that's the way my mind has been trained, to be concerned about me. And then that concerned about me becomes concerned about me first.
Mm.
And it's a very...
When there becomes a we, then we become me first.
Right. I think I might be confused.
You're not confused.
My point that I was trying to make is that having gone through life, you know, all of my life, from, you know, from birth as a baby, you know, I'm hungry, I cry, I have to have my needs met. It's always been about me, and that's what we learn.
Yes.
We learn that
we're selfish beings.
Yes. And it takes a very conscious and intentional effort to be selfless.
That's right.
And that's the point that I was trying to make throughout all this. I don't know. I actually don't know what it is you were trying to say. You can explain what you were trying
to
say.
No, what I was trying to say is that when you became husband and wife, you became we. You became a we. But then
okay.
you actually became me first. You were still always me first. Right?
Yes.
I got to make sure that I'm taking care of them. Then I'll get her what she needs, because I love her and so on and so forth. But really, what the whole principle of what Jesus is trying to teach us is that it's not about you. It's not about you at all. It's about them.
I see. So what you were doing, you were reading ahead. Because after, in Ephesians, after
yes.
What I just read.
Consider
says,
others.
Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and yes. hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And that's the
end of the story.
that's a great profound mystery of marriage.
Well, exactly. And that's something that we all need to be more aware of all the time, not just at certain times like anniversaries or special events, but all the time, you know. So let's take a break, then let's come back, and let's keep going down this path that you're leading us down. You're shining a light on the path for us, Eric, and we're just going to follow you. So hopefully you're not leading us over a cliff. We're going to take a quick little break. I'm putting the pressure on him is all that's going on. We'll be right back. We're talking about being a hero for your wife. Come on, man. Let's hear it. Hero. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
No sugarcoating here. It's real talk about real issues for real men. Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
Looking for another option for your internet service? Need a more reliable, high-speed internet? StarTouch is the premier provider of wireless broadband to businesses, government entities, schools, and residential customers in the Pacific Northwest. In fact, the talk show ministry you're listening to right now uses StarTouch as our internet provider. Experience the StarTouch difference. Get a free quote by visiting StarTouch.com.
Bring your doubts, bring your fears, bring your hurt, bring your tears. There'll be no condemnation here. You are holy, righteous, and redeemed. And every time I fall, there'll be those who will call me a mistake. Well, that's okay, 'cause I hear a voice and
welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio in the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 2. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, born in the likeness of men. That's kind of what you were talking about.
Yeah, it is. That's good words. I'm glad you read that. Because, you know, that's the area that I wanted to go into is, you know, you started into it, but serving. It's serving our wives, serving our children. You know, that's not just the 9 to 5 going to work so that I can provide for them. You know, there's a whole lot of
other
needs.
So there's a difference is what you're saying. It's not about just taking the responsibility of just saying, hey, I'm the one providing here. You know, she's a stay-at-home mom. And whether she's a stay-at-home or not, we're trying to get certain principles across to men to be to remember. See, the Word of God does not come back void. It just doesn't come back void. Something that we've already shared today has already struck some hearts of those that are listening. It struck you for a reason, because it makes you start to think, makes you start to feel maybe even a little guilty in a sense, you know. But don't worry about it being guilt. That comes from the enemy. But if it's conviction, maybe that's something that God wants you to hear so that you can start to get things in order, okay? Prepare yourself for what needs to take place, and that's by being more Christ-like. None of us are perfect. And we don't claim to be perfect. There's no doubt because we know each other and we can look at each other and probably say to each other, no, you're not perfect, but I still care about you and I still pray for you and I still hold you up. And that's the same thing that our families need to hear also, you know. So anyway.
Well, that's all right, Raul, because, yeah, you know, that serving that we do, you know, it's really – if I am following Christ, then I am going to, you know, naturally be a servant to my family.
Yes.
Because what does my family need? They need me to lead by example. They need me to be that man of God who seeks God all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they need to see their dad and their husband praying. They need to see the men in the house in the Word of God.
Amen.
They need to see the men of the house not just doing these things, but acting upon them.
Yes. Yes.
You know, taking what it is that God is teaching us and to act upon it. To you know, Jesus was a servant, right? How can I be a servant in my house?
Yeah.
You know, your wife says, you know, I sure could use a snack. Let me get that for you, honey. What do you want? You know, just simple acts. It can be just simple things like that. And it can be even, you know, bigger things.
It could be it could be washing the van that she drives the kids around, or the vehicle she drives around. That, you know, those things can get dirty if you have kids. They can get messy and everything. If you cleaned it up one day and not said any, don't say anything to her, she'll notice. And she knows that the kids didn't do it, you know. So the fact is that those random acts of kindness really is what they are for your wife.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Without even thinking twice about it, just doing it. Don't ask her. Don't tell her, hey, I'm going to go wash your car. No, don't say anything to her. Just
honey, I'm washing
it.
The car now. Yeah. Praise me.
Yeah. I'll be ready later for you. No, that's an expectation. Yeah. You don't want to be doing that sort of thing. You know, there's one of the things that you talked about, and it just came, it's in 1 Peter chapter 3. It says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, mm-hmm. showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of
Amen.
The grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. You know, brother, she is an equal to you. In God's eyes, she is an equal. She is gifted differently mm-hmm. than you. Brother, aren't you glad that you don't have to give birth? I mean, seriously.
Yeah, there's a reason that women give birth, because yes. men couldn't handle it.
Oh, yeah. Well, and let's not worry about which came first, the chicken or the, I don't know why I even said that. We know which came first. The man was made first, and the woman was made from the man's flesh, okay? And so, but God breathed life into both of them so that they would cooperate and be with each other, so that he knew that, it talks about in Ecclesiastes, that two can actually get more work done mm-hmm. than one, right? So in this case here, these are our helpmates. These are
right.
our helpmates.
Right. I wasn't created greater than my wife.
Yep.
You know, my wife wasn't created greater than me. We were created equal. We were created in a way as to form the hierarchy of how things should be, meaning that a man is meant to lead.
Yes.
Man was created first.
Yes.
He is meant to be that leader. He is meant to be the servant as well.
Yes. Yes.
And so, as, you know, as we lead in our family, really, if I'm following Christ,
mm-hmm.
that's the only way that I can truly lead. Because if I'm not following Christ, I am leading my family in a direction that is contrary to the nature of God. So really, I have to be seeking him.
Yes.
I have to be seeking him all the time. I have to be seeking him on my knees. I have to be seeking him in his word. And when I'm doing that, Raul, then I become that man that is that should be followed.
Right.
You know, Paul says to follow me. You know, I actually forget where it is that he said that, but Paul said to follow me. And I'm thinking, you know, is that something that I could say, follow me, because I'm following Christ? You know, I know that I'm an imperfect man. I know all my flaws. I know all the evil thoughts that will just come into my head, and I know all of the evil desires that I have in my heart, and I look at all these things and I consider them, and I think, can I honestly say, follow me? If I am seeking Christ, despite all the flaws that I have, if I am seeking him, if I am seeking to be more like him, then honestly, yeah, I can say follow me if I am doing those things.
You know, one of the things that's so important that we, if we were to take the time to communicate and actually not just talk with our wives, not just talk, it's easy for us to talk, but to listen and to really listen to what their heart is, what they're wanting to say to us. If you haven't listened to her in a long time, don't expect her to be able to get something out in a sentence right off the bat and so that you're done. You're going to have to take the time to build this relationship up mm-hmm. once again, or continue restoring it to the way that God had intended it to be. So you're going to have to be patient, okay? But it's our job as leaders to be godly leaders, not just leaders, godly leaders, okay? A Christian wife wants to follow a godly leader. She wants. That's why sometimes guys sit there and go, man, I don't know why she keeps wanting to go going to church with the kids and all this and that and so on and so forth, you start thinking, well, maybe the pastor must be really a hot guy or something like that. That's why she wants to go and et cetera, et cetera. Let me tell you, that's something I used to think, and that's something I know that is not foreign from other men thinking, because we are so insecure sometimes. So you go and you look, and all of a sudden you think, wow, what does she see in this guy? Well, you know what she sees? She doesn't see anything, but she hears the word of God. She hears confidence. She hears a man who's seeking him, seeking God, who is humble. Right. Okay? Being humble like Christ is what they so desire. And we think, as men, if we're humble, somebody's going to take advantage of us. Somebody's going to try to get in. Somebody's going to try to take what we have, what I have, and I can't allow that. So we think we have to be the stronghold, and that's not what it's about.
Right. You're kind of touching on the speaking, because, you know, when we go and we listen to a pastor speak, you know, 90% of a man's conversation is about facts.
Yes.
Okay. And that's about as far as we usually go. But beyond that, we have opinions and we have beliefs and we have our hopes and desires. All three of those things take up like the last 10%. Now, when you go to church and you're listening to a pastor speak, he's speaking about beliefs. You know, he's extended, you know, he's going beyond what superficial fact speaking, and he's getting deep down into, you know, the really important things in life. And that's attractive to a woman. Mm-hmm. You know, that's attractive to our families. When we go beyond that surface level speak about the facts and we start talking about the things or opinions, facts and opinions, and we start talking about beliefs,
yes,
and we start talking about our hopes and our desires, and there's vulnerability in that. It's hard.
It is. It's very challenging, but one thing is so important that goes with this is that we have to be able to walk our talk. Talk is cheap. It really is. So talking it is not what it's about. Can you really walk it? Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to continue reading and a little bit of the Word of God and a little bit more of our own experiences. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
As iron sharpens iron, this is Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
I don't know about your body, but my body loves protein. That's right. And when I think about delicious protein, I think about Hempler's pepper bacon, Hempler's hams, Hempler's bun buster hot dogs, Hempler's chorizo, Hempler's chicken sausage. It's all so delicious, and I don't have to worry about extra fillers. The entire Hempler collection of smoked meats is completely free of allergens, gluten, and MSG, and it's made with care from their family to yours, using the Hempler family tradition of slowly curing, cooking, and smoking their meat naturally over hardwoods. To learn where you can purchase your own Hempler's meat, visit Hempler's.com.
When you need a lasting remembrance of a loved one, you can spend thousands of dollars on an engraved monument, benchmarker, keepsake urn, or flag case. Or you could get the exact same engraved monument at a far lower cost from Cascade Monuments. Right now, explore even bigger savings during Cascade Monuments' anniversary event. Cascade Monuments ships throughout the United States and Canada. Shop online at cascademonuments.com.
No man is an island we can be found. No man is an island, let your guard down. Please don't try to fight me, I am for you. We're not meant to live this life alone. Oh, 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 oh.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. My name is Raul. I've got Eric Manning Brown in the studio with me, and we're talking about being heroes for our wives and what that looks like, what that means. And we've talked about some of the things of being a servant, of trying to be more Christ-like and being humble, practicing humility in a sense. And a big part of being practicing humility is one of the things I remember recall years ago I was in a discussion where, you know, what is humility? And I remember one guy making that statement, saying, well, true humility is actually saying grace before eating crow. Okay, which was kind of funny. I laughed when I heard that. I said, oh, yeah, you know, you're going to.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, say, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. But really, part of humility is being teachable, right?
Yeah.
Being able to receive, you know, not thinking that I've got all the answers. Hey, I'm the spiritual head of this household. I have all the answers. No, you don't. You know, you do not have all of them. Okay. If you did, we'd be praying to you, and we're not praying to you. So, but the simple fact is we need to be teachable, knowing that there's got to be something else that we can learn from what's going on in our lives, right?
That's one of the things I was thinking about on the way over here this morning is the fact that, you know, here we are, you know, talking about, you know, what it means to be the husband that that God has designed us to be that hero within our home, how to love our wives as Christ loved the church, you know, and all what that entails. And I was thinking about the fact that, you know, my understanding of it now is probably different than it's going to be years down the road. You know, that I'm going to continue to grow in that, to grow in my understanding of what it means to love my wife in that way. Because if I start thinking that I have all the answers, then it all starts to be about me, you know, and hey, look at, you know, I've got it all figured out. And so you're so right, Raul, that remaining humble in this and knowing that, you know, we need to remain teachable.
Yep.
Because if I think I've got it all down, you know, I'm setting myself up for failure. But I'll tell you one thing that that I have learned is that there needs to be only one woman in my life. And whatever that looks like, you know, whether it's being overly friendly with, you know, a woman in the office, or whether it is, you know, pornography is so available, so rampant, and it's so easily accessible, you know, that's that tears apart marriages.
Absolutely.
And the thing is, you know, if I have divided loyalties there, you know, that's I'm not a hero to my wife.
Right.
My wife wants, you know, she is the focus of my life. She is the love of my life. Now, if I take that and I divide that, that would, you know, can you imagine if all of a sudden Jesus said, you know what? I think I'm just going to go ahead and let all of the false religions, yeah, sure, I died on the cross for the sins of people, but you know what? I'm going to go ahead and let, you know, all these false religions into heaven as well. You know, all these people who don't really know me or love me, I'm going to divide my attention. I'm going to take it away from my church that I died for, and I'm going to give it to somebody else. That's not what he does. He loves his church. And he wants to bring all inside of his church. He's not trying to take himself outside of the church and give himself away to others. He loves his church.
Yep.
And in the same way, we really have to have the same mind towards our wives.
Yep. Yep.
And you know, I admit my own struggles in this. You know, but I need to love my wife. You know, like it says in Proverbs, let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth, a lovely deer, a graceful doe. Let her breast fill you at all times with delight. Be intoxicated always in her love.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
That doesn't include anybody else. That's her.
So there you got, there you guys go, man. You're listening to him, and you're receiving a little something here. It reminds me of Proverbs chapter 19:20. Listen to advice and accept instruction, that you may gain wisdom in the future. So part of the instruction, part of what we listen to, the advice from others who have been there, there's a reason for it. There's a reason why they're in your lives. There's a reason why sometimes they're called elders. So pay attention to them. Let's take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to kind of put this thing, not wrap it up necessarily, but may come to a closing end here on something about being a hero for your wife. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Men, don't fight your battle alone. Download our podcast to your iPod every day and take Band of Brothers Radio with you. We got your back covered.
If you're a man that is struggling with alcohol, drugs, pornography, money issues, gambling, there is hope for you. On Monday nights, we have Valiant Warriors, and I invite you to come and check this out. You will come to learn very quickly that you're not alone in your challenge, that there's no judgment nor condemnation. A group of men who are willing to say, I need help. If you live in Whatcom County, come and check us out on Monday nights, every Monday night at 6 p.m. You will not regret it, because there is hope and you can break free. For more information, go to bandofbrothersforchrist.org and click on Valiant Warriors. Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio, and listening to that one ad there with from Carolyn Merriman about dork. I was just asking him, I said, what's the last time you heard dork? I haven't heard anybody say dork in a long time.
I haven't heard that in a while.
I'm not trying to put an age on her or anything, but yeah, that was the time that I remember saying dork. Anyway, Carolyn's great counselor, great woman of God, and she has a great Amen. Show too, so... Hey, well, so go ahead.
You know, in the beginning of the show, we were talking about writing poetry for our wives.
You bring that back up. I like how you bring that back up as I end here. You know, I'm going to end up having to write a poem now.
Well, all right.
It's not going to be a roses.
Not everybody can write poetry. So, you know, this isn't a requirement. I'm not giving homework or anything like that. But I was thinking about some poetry in the Bible.
Oh, there's poetry in the Bible.
And this is poetry of a husband to a wife. And it's Songs of Solomon. How beautiful and pleasant you are, O loved one, with all your delights. This is something that Solomon wrote to his wife. And what he wrote was a heartfelt gesture of his love for this mm-hmm. for this one woman that had captivated his heart. And what he did is he told her how beautiful she is. And I think that to follow that example, to let our wives know that we think that they are beautiful. And I'm not talking just about, you know, lip service, but to, you know, to really see our wives in that way and to let them know how it is that we feel. And you know what? It's okay to say this in front of the kids, in front of the grandkids, whatever, because that love needs to be seen inside of our families. So to say, you know, to say even something simple, you know, like, honey, I like your new haircut. It looks really good on you. Or, that, you know, that purple blouse, man, you look really good in purple. There are so many different ways to, you know, to say, I love you in that way because they want to know that they are beautiful and cherished.
You know, one of the things that you're saying, that men could do to be able to, compliment their wives or to be able to be loving toward them. That's all really good stuff. If you're already following Jesus, if you're not following Jesus, if you don't have a good relationship, you want to make that right first. Mm-hmm. You really do. Because all this other stuff, it's not going to come. You're going to say, I can't do that. No, I'm not going to say that. Because you're going to be looking at the flaws instead of the beauty and or the things that you should be grateful for that your wife brings into the relationship or had at one time and has stopped doing it because of maybe our own behavior, our own set of setting restrictions and demands and stuff on them. Maybe there's some forgiveness that needs to be implemented, you know. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's something that needs to be talked about and shared in a manner. Maybe you're unable or think you're unable to be able to be a loving and caring husband. That's because of maybe the anger that's in you. So you have to take care of the business first and foremost. These are the things that will impede your relationship into growing and becoming more Christ-like. You got to get that stuff out of the way, because if you don't, it's just going to be, as you were saying, Eric, lip service. That's it. So you've got to get that taken care of. If you have a challenge with in certain areas that are sinful, you want to bring that darkness into the light. That means you not only admit that to our Lord, but bring that to the light of another brother who can help keep you accountable in that arena. Brother, when you're doing it by yourself, it's not going to work. That's why you get frustrated and say, I don't want to have to deal with any of this stuff. That's why you at times say, ah, oh, forget it, you know, or here, I'll make more money and you just go spend it with the kids, do whatever you got to do. No, that's not what they want. They don't want more money from you. They want you. They want you to be the godly man, to be the godly leader, to be the godly teacher, the godly lover in the family, to be able to lead them through this world that is full of destruction and evil, and the enemy is out to take your wife out. Hey, he's got one mission, to kill, steal, and destroy. Not just you, but he wants to kill, steal, and destroy your children, and he wants to kill, to steal, and destroy your wife. So let's man up. Man up, humble ourselves to our Savior, let his power flow through us so that we can be the men of God and be the husbands, the heroes for our wife that our wives have been waiting for.
And if I wanted to destroy a family, I would try to destroy the husband first. So, because the whole family would crumble.
So there you go. Hey, short and sweet. Stay tuned for next week. You never know what might come. Maybe we'll just follow up with this one. How about you pray for our brothers?
Our Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the brothers out there who are seeking after you, Father, and God, I pray that you would empower them, Father, that your strength would be perfected in their weakness, and that you would make them to be the husbands and fathers and heroes that you have designed them to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord turn his face toward you, brother, and give you shalom.